Let's have a word of prayer. Apologize for being a few minutes late. Our alumni meeting always goes over a bit, so rushing from there to here. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for another great day so far. And thank you now, Lord, for these sessions this afternoon that we can attend and try to grow and learn and let you build some more into our lives. We know, that, Lord, that the building process for us is layer upon layer, precept upon precept, line upon line, and here a little and there a little. And I pray that the little here today in this session will be a help and be a blessing. And Lord, we know that your truth is what people need, but we need to create a window or a picture into that truth so it's clear. And so we pray that you'll help us in illustrating the sermon and give us your wisdom, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably one of the most often asked questions in preaching is, how do you illustrate? Or where do you find a good illustration? And so this session is designed to maybe give a little help in that area. At least I hope it will. As an introduction, proper illustrations are a must today in the area of preaching. They're a must. We're in an entertainment age with a very short attention span. People are used to watching television. They're used to sound bites of information when it comes to even the news. And so their attention span is very brief. Now, what people need is the truth of God's word, but they must be drawn to that truth. In a sense, we've got to create thirst. I could offer this bottle of water to anybody here for $10. I doubt that I'd get many takers. You'd say I could buy 3 cases of water for $10. So I'd have trouble selling this for $10 unless you felt extremely sorry for me. But suppose I lock the door and turn up the heat to about 100, and we throw the chairs out, and I say, let's exercise. Let's just go at it for half hour, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Eventually, I will sell this bottle of water. Eventually. Not because it's any more valuable, but because I've created thirst. Now, truth is truth, and what people need is the truth. What they need is the gospel. You can't improve on it. You can't make it any more valuable. It's the most valuable thing we have. It's eternal. But we've got to create thirst. We've got to create an interest for that truth. And an illustration is a great way to create that truth. And then the illustration helps to capture and hold the listener's attention. It keeps them listening to the sermon. Now, the preacher must beware, however, that the illustration does not dominate the message. So the truth or application of truth is not remembered. We must not reduce ourselves to mere entertainers. An illustration properly used will cause the listener to remember the application of its truth in God's word. An illustration must always be in harmony with the text and not simply be told as a good story. Sometimes we hear a good story or something happens in our life and say, oh man, I want to tell that. That's going to be exciting to tell. Well, you can get a job at a comedy club if you want to, you know, just tell stories. People do actually make a living telling stories or entertaining. It's a tough living, but it is possible, okay? We're not entertainers, but we want to get across truth. Now, oftentimes, if a person remembers the illustration, it used to bother me, especially young people at camp or something, they'd come up and say, oh, man, I love your stories. And I'd think, I don't want you to love my stories. I want you to love the truth. But I figured out that if they remember the story, they most often can remember the application of that story or the truth of that story. Most of you have heard Dr. Gibbs multiple times, and we love his stories. There's a number of reasons for that that I may talk about a little bit later. But if I were to just give a sort of a part of a Dr. Gibbs story right now, you could probably tell me the application of the truth. Because he drew you into that truth with the story. He got your attention. He captured your attention. He kept your attention by the illustration. And you remember the funny story you like to tell to somebody else. That story about the girl with the nose. I've told that story. Some fascinating story. But you don't forget the truth behind it either. The fact that we need to be witnesses. And what's our excuse? So, again, the illustration helps people remember. The Lord Jesus Christ used many personal everyday life experiences to communicate truth, and they captivated his audience because the people could relate to them. He used things that were relevant to their lives. Now, let's talk about the nature of an illustration. The nature of an illustration. Why would we use an illustration? What's so great about it? Some people are against illustrations. Some people feel like it's wrong to illustrate truth. Well, why would we talk about an illustration? First of all, letter A, illustrations are pleasing to the audience. They make the audience want to listen. They engage the audience. They make listening enjoyable. They engage the listener into the message. Now, most people that are being invited to your church, if they're lost and they've been invited by one of your members or they've been you've knocked on their door and, okay, I'm going to go try this church, they're not coming with, oh, I can't wait to hear this guy, you know. They're coming with some reluctance. They're coming with some defense systems. They're coming with some barriers. So the illustration helps to make this experience at church and this experience of preaching enjoyable. If we just went out there and said, hey, come hear our pastor preach for 40 minutes, you know, we really don't, you know, we invite people to church, but we don't, you know, we kind of soften that part of it, you know, because most people, you want me to go sit in a chair and listen to some guy talk for 40 minutes? I mean, that's really not what they want to do. So when they come, they find out there's preaching and they find out, you know, that there is, then we've got to keep them engaged. We've got to attract them to that truth, and illustration helps that. Letter B, illustrations help to instruct. They get the truth across. Learning is accomplished by taking people from the known to the unknown. Okay? Education is taking people from what they know to what they don't know. I would hate to be a kindergarten teacher because they don't know anything yet. But they do. But a first grader, he learns things in first grade that now the first grade teacher teaches what he knows from kindergarten and takes him to the next level. And then the second grade teacher takes what he knew in first grade and builds on that to second grade and so on. It's an accumulating knowledge. So education is taking people from the known to the unknown. Well, by likening something that is unknown, the spiritual application, to something that is already known, an experience in life, learning is accomplished. Normally, when we introduce an illustration, we'll say, it's like when I was 4 years old. Or, it's like just this last week I was talking to this man. In other words, we're likening it to something that they can already relate to so they can see this truth that they're not aware of yet. Okay? So this allows, number three, the obscure to become plain by the use of word pictures. I think I said yesterday in one of the sessions, a picture's worth 1,000 words, and that includes a word picture. So it's important that the audience knows something of the subject matter on which the subject matter stands. Sometimes some background information needs to be given so the application can be made. If you use an illustration, make sure that your audience understands the illustration. As men, we use male illustrations. If women were preachers, illustrations would be totally different. They really would, because women know about stuff we don't know about. Okay, we use illustrations about sports or about hunting or about car mechanics or, you know, because that's what we know. Okay, well, make sure your audience knows something about sports. You could say, wow, did you see that tackle in the game last night? Did you see that tackle? Well, truth is, if you said that, you could be talking about a person or a play. If you saw the game, it might have been a game-saving tackle at the 5-yard line that won the game, or it could be this massive 400-pound guy that plays left tackle. I mean, did you see that tackle? Sometimes we throw out stuff that people don't have any idea what we're talking about. So, you know, if this is an aerospace area here in Lancaster. I don't know a thing about aerospace. I have no idea how airplanes get off the ground. I have no idea. I like flying in them, but I don't know how they do it. So, if someone in the aerospace industry were teaching me in their class and they used an aerospace illustration, they're going to have to give me some background for that to take me from the known to the unknown, because if I don't know about aerospace, I'm going from the unknown to the unknown and nothing's accomplished. So when you use an illustration, think about your crowd. Think about, who am I preaching to? Am I preaching to children? Am I preaching to, whatever? Because you want to make sure that you're using illustrations that they can identify with. Jesus, he used parables about the soil. He used parables about a lost coin. He used a story about a lost son. He talked about things they were already familiar with. And those are the valuable illustrations. Now, what about the reason for illustrations? Why would we use them? Well, letter A, to help people understand or aid in communication. Where our job is, our mission is to get truth across. So to do that, we're going to use whatever we can to aid in that communicating process. In building a sermon, it's not your task to make the sermon easy to preach. It is your task to make the sermon easy to understand. Sometimes as preachers, we'll hear something, we'll say, oh, that'll preach. Yeah, a lot of stuff preaches well, but does it help well? You know? I mean, I could preach on something in this room right now that'd get you all fired up because you all agree with what I'm saying. But it might not help. I could preach on the woes of drinking alcohol to this crowd. I'd probably get some amens. But it's not really relevant, hopefully, to anybody in this room. You know, let me go down to the trap over here on Avenue I and preach it and see if I can help some people. So again, something can preach well, but does it help well? And so, again, the illustration is to help us to get people to understand well. The audience should not have to work at getting something out of your message. It's our responsibility to help them see that truth. Here's an illustration of an illustration. An illustration is like an ornament on a Christmas tree. It's not there to take up space or look pretty in itself. The ornament is there to draw the onlooker to the tree. Too many ornaments hide the beauty of the tree, thus making it unappreciated, while not enough ornaments expose too many bare spots, leaving the onlooker with the idea that it needs something. You walk in somebody's house at Christmas, and they got their Christmas tree up, and you go, oh, that's a beautiful tree. You don't walk in and say, wow, what a beautiful ornament. Now, there are beautiful ornaments, but we usually don't put them on trees. We put them on the mantle. You know, the ornament is there to adorn the tree. Now, if you go to Macy's and you go in the Christmas part of it, you know, or whatever, and they got these trees where they're trying to sell ornaments, they look gaudy. You can't even see the tree because it's covered with ornaments. It's not even a tree. It's a bunch of wood, you know. The ornaments are on display. Well, in preaching, the ornaments aren't on display. The illustrations aren't supposed to be on display. They're supposed to draw people to the truth of the message. See? So an ornament is there to help fill the bare spots, to try to fill in where the truth needs some help, but not to draw attention in and of itself to itself. Letter B, they assist in argument. Illustrations help us make an argument. Very few people will be able to follow your train of thought through a message without the help of an illustration. An illustration is a window in an argument and lets light in so the point can be seen. If we closed off all light in this room, darkened this room completely, couldn't see the hand in front of your face, and I said, all right, guys, let's pick up this room. There's some trash on the floor. Let's straighten these chairs. You'd say, really, that's impossible. We need some light. Now, once we turned the light back on, we'd see the piece of paper on the floor. We'd see the disarray of the chairs, whatever. We could do something about it. All right, the illustration helps to bring some light into this truth so people can see it. Sometimes, number three, your audience will be listening doubtfully or laboriously or suspiciously and wonder what you're talking about. When you say it's like, the audience sees what it is like. And when a proper illustration is used, there's almost a sense of relief as they see that point. Now, in mind with this, number four, the illustration must always be relevant to what you're preaching. If it's not, you're wasting your time and merely entertaining. Now, I realize that sometimes a preacher, when he first gets up to preach, may tell a joke or he may tell a story that has no real value to the message. Okay, we understand that's just kind of warming the crowd and trying to get it eased in the pulpit or, you know, whatever. And we can go too far with that as well. We can waste all of our time doing that. But there's a certain level of, especially if you're preaching in a strange pulpit or sometimes even as a pastor, just kind of greeting your people and making them feel at home, or giving you know, a little greeting there, whatever. All that's fine, and that may not, that may serve a different purpose than the truth. But when we get into the message, we want to make sure everything counts, because what people hate is wasting their time. And if they feel like we're just wasting their time by entertaining or telling stories and not going anywhere with it, they're going to lose interest no matter how good the story is. Number five, the illustration should always be accurate. It should be as true as the truth you're preaching. Now, I could spend the rest of the time on that, but one of my pet peeves is when a preacher says, listen to me now, I'm not just preaching, I'm telling you the truth. That's the dumbest statement I've ever heard in my life. When are you not telling me the truth? I want to know that. Because we're talking about my soul. We're talking about my life. We're talking about my destiny. So let me know when you're not telling the truth. Okay. Now, it's not wrong to use a fictitious story to get across truth, but people need to know it's a fictitious story. The parables, most scholars believe they were not necessarily true incidents. That's why they were called parables. Okay? Now, I believe they were based on a true story, because Jesus often said a certain man or a certain woman. I think he had somebody in mind, but he didn't name them, and that's one of the qualifications of a parable. So they may or may not have been true, but Jesus alerted the people to the fact that he was, you know, giving a parable or a story to illustrate the truth. So make sure that people know that you're never lying to them, you're never trying to deceive them or manipulate them, even in an illustration. If they perceive for a moment that you've lied about your fish story, they'll perceive that you will lie to get them to make a decision. And we can't afford to do that, because we're dealing with the truth. Then letter C, they can be a bridge in some difficult situations. An illustration can be a bridge. What do we mean? Well, sometimes an illustration is an invisible tactic. It's something we can use to help people see truth and without them hardly realizing it. For instance, there may be something, number two, you need to preach on and yet not want to hit specifically, because some in the audience may think you're just preaching to them. Thus, you could use an illustration about smoking in a sermon on separation to help the person who smokes see an important truth without making him feel like you're just preaching to him. Now, I've heard a lot of preaching. I've never heard a preaching against smoking. I'm sure there have been some. I've never heard a sermon about smoking. I've heard it mentioned in sermon. I've never heard a whole sermon on smoking. The Surgeon General has done a pretty good job with that recently, I guess, to get people to realize the problems with smoking. But people in our churches smoke, you know, and we want to help them. We have people in our church that smoke. And so you want to help that person. But if you have 4 or 5 or 8 or 10 people in your church that smoke, you don't want to preach a whole sermon on smoking. They're going to think you're just, you know, lambasting them. Or maybe you've got somebody that works at a casino or something, and you're trying to help them to see maybe you should pray about another job. Or, you know, but you don't want to preach a whole message against the casino. But you can use an illustration. For instance, preachers are always a little gun-shy to preach about giving, because they feel like the criticism is you're always talking about money and so on. So maybe you're preaching about dedication, or you're preaching about consecrating your life to Christ, just giving your whole self to God and making a commitment to God. And you could say, you know, it reminds me of the story of the offering that was being taken in a church one day. And the ushers began to go through the crowd and pass the plates. And over in the back corner on the right was a little boy sitting by himself. He was only about 5 or 6. And the usher, as he approached that section, he thought, well, I doubt that he would have anything to give. And so he kind of hesitated to even go over there. But he thought, well, maybe he does have a penny or two or a dime or something, and so I better at least offer the plate. And so he kind of made a motion in that direction. And the little boy looked up from his seat at the usher and he said, sir, could you hold that plate a little lower? And so the usher obliged, and he held the plate down a little closer to the boy's lap, and the boy looked up and said, sir, could you hold it a little lower? The usher this time bent at his waist and held the plate even lower, and the boy looked up and said, sir, it's still too high. Could you hold the offering plate a little lower? Well, the usher, a bit frustrated, he took the offering plate and set it on the floor and stepped back as if to say, is that low enough for you, kid? The little boy scooted up on his seat and got off the pew and stepped inside the offering plate. He said, sir, I don't have any money to give to Jesus, but I'd like to give myself. Now, you've accomplished a couple things there, but you've accomplished something subtly about giving. Okay? Your illustration is about giving your whole self, but there's a little conviction there about money too. See what I'm saying? So sometimes the illustration can be an invisible tactic as you're trying to help certain people or certain situations within the context of the message. Letter D, illustrations help people remember the truth. Picture's worth a thousand words. If an illustration is timely and appropriate, the audience will go away remembering the illustration. And if they were asked what the application was to that illustration, they usually remember it as well. If they can remember the picture, they'll remember the truth. If they can remember the picture, they'll remember the truth. Number four, you can serve meat, but it tastes better salted. I've learned to eat a lot of things as long as there's salt on the table. Okay? Now, let's be honest. When we present truth, when we preach the Bible, if you're going to preach the whole counsel of God, some of it's hard to take. I mean, some of it is hard to serve. Some of it is tough. You know, it's going to hit people right between the eyes. All right, we need to salt it. And an illustration is a way to make the truth taste better. But when you think about salt in the Bible, number five, illustrations like salt will not only make the sermon taste better, but also help to preserve them longer. Salt in the New Testament was used primarily as a preservative. And so the salt helps people remember the sermon. Dr. Wayne Surface, who pastors in Honolulu, he likes to use a lot of illustrations in his preaching. And he likes to use illustrations that people use every day. He has a whole sermon on keys because people use their keys every day. And so the idea is every time they pull out their keys, they remember the sermon. He has a sermon about the big gulp at 7-Eleven. And Pastor Service pastors a military church, and so he repeats some of his sermons. About every 5 or 6 years, he repeats them because his crowd keeps changing. And he has people that will email him that heard that sermon 20 years ago and say, Pastor, I was just in 7-Eleven, got a big gulp, and I remembered your sermon. Yeah. He's got a sermon about a recipe box. He's got a whole series of messages on the fruit of the Spirit, and he uses a different fruit to illustrate each one of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, use a pineapple, use a banana, use an orange, and he wrote a whole book on it. You can buy the book if you want to. I think it's at our bookstore. But the point is that he likes to use illustrations that, and again, when Jesus talked about a lost sheep, don't you think those people, every time they lost a sheep, they remembered the sermon? Every time they lost a coin, they remembered Jesus talking about the coin. Every time those farmers went out and saw the hard soil and the thorny soil and the stony ground, they remembered the sermon about their hearts. So the more that we can relate, obviously, the sermon to your sermon can keep preaching long after you get done talking. You know, it can still be working on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday if they can remember something from it. And the easiest thing to remember, of course, is the story or the illustration that helps them come back to that truth. Then letter E, illustrations stimulate imagination. Imagination. They help the audience imagine living in that truth they're hearing about. If the illustration is negative, it helps them to imagine what it'll be like if they disobey and choose not to live in that truth. Tell a story about the rich man. That's an illustration in hell. Helps people imagine what it'd be like to be in hell. That's why Jesus told it. That was not a parable, by the way. That was a true story. But it was an illustration. And people could imagine what it'd be like to be in that fire. All of us have burned ourselves. We know the pain of a burn. We know the horror of darkness and loneliness and all those things, separation. So again, they help people to live in that truth. Letter F, illustrations help the audience to rest. to help the audience to rest. There's an art to being able to preach as long as you need to without the audience becoming tired of listening. Have you ever been in a service where you were just captured by the message, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you noticed what time it was, and you were shocked that an hour had gone by or an hour and a half had gone by? I've been in two services that lasted 2.5 hours of preaching, just the preaching, 2.5 hours. My life, I've been in the audience of two messages that were 2.5 hours. The first was Lester Roloff.
Yeah.
He was preaching on the bear pawing in the valley out of Job. Totally out of context, as all of Lester Roloff's messages were, but he preached on not quitting.
Yep.
The bear keeps pawing in the valley, just keeps pawing in the valley. And the whole sermon, and it was a tremendous sermon and very motivating sermon, and I remember sitting there, and the theme of that conference that we were in was don't quit.
Yep.
It had this big banner over his head, said don't quit.
Yeah.
And he got to the 2-hour mark in that sermon, and he turned to the host pastor and he said, "Brother, I'm trying to quit, but the theme is don't quit." And at that point, we all looked at our watch, and 2 hours had gone by, and there was a collective that went across the audience because we thought we'd been there 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other 2.5-hour sermon I was in, I looked at my watch at about the 5-minute mark thinking I was at the hour mark.
Wow.
You've been there, too.
Yeah.
You've been there, too. Now, why is that? What allows one guy to preach a long time? You go to some services, you're tired, you're weary, you think, well, I'm going to have to really work at this. I'm going to have to really, you know. And all of a sudden, you're wide awake. And you're thinking, wow, I'm having no trouble at all. Other services you go to, you think you're doing pretty good, got some good rest or whatever, and you go in there, and I mean, within 2 minutes, the guy's got you dreaming. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, you're wondering, where was I, you know. So why is that? Why can some sermons be long and we not notice it, and other sermons be short and it seems incredibly long? Well, no one, no matter how skilled, can hold an audience spellbound by using a monotone in either voice or thought.
Yeah, that's good.
Now think about that. See, if I use a monotone of voice, you're going to get tired real fast of listening to me because you just can't tolerate it. You've got to have inflection of voice to hold a crowd. But the same is true of a thought. If you run a thought too long, it becomes a monotone of thought. You've got to engage the minds of the people who are listening. And so by going to an illustration, it immediately shifts that gear, you see, and recreates the interest. Now, in preaching, your principles and points will appeal to the mind. People like the outline, they like the alliteration, or they like the acrostic, or they like, you know, whatever. Your principles, your points are going to appeal to their academia, their understanding, their mind. Your illustrations will appeal to their heart.
Yeah.
And they're connected. Because they're not going to do anything about the message with their head.
That's right.
They're going to respond with their heart. And we want them to respond. Now, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. They got to hear it. They got to know it. You can only make decisions based on what you know. So we've got to get the truth across. We got to deal with the head. We got to get it in their head. But it's got to touch their heart if they're gonna involve their volition, if they're gonna involve their will and say, I'm gonna do that, or I'm gonna obey that, or I'm gonna make that decision. Now, the more emotions you can preach to, humor, sadness, anger, burden, the longer you can preach. The more emotions you can preach to. Because while you're addressing one emotion, the others are resting. If I get you mad about something, but if I keep you mad for too long, you'll get tired of listening. But if I can shift from getting mad at the sin or mad at the, and then maybe use some humor, then your mad emotion is resting while your humorous emotion is engaged. Then you move maybe to another kind of emotion, a concern or a pity or, you know, oh, wow. You know, so the more emotions that you can preach to, the longer you can preach. And as a result, the audience listens to a long sermon, thinks it was short. Pastor Chappell is a real master on Sunday morning, in my opinion, of using about a sentence worth of humor about every 7, 8, 9 minutes on the Sunday morning message. And he's got a great source for children's funny stories. And I don't know what it is. We don't talk about those sorts of things because I don't share my illustrations with anybody, and so I don't expect anybody to share them with me. But the point is that it's just like a one-liner. Heard about a little boy who, even this morning, you caught that in his session. Every once in a while, he'll kind of shift to a little, it doesn't take long, but what he's doing is he's letting you rest from this intense, you got to do this, we're going to build a church. And then the little humor, see, and he lets you rest there. And he does it really well on Sunday morning. Now, Sunday night, he just rips her face. If we fall asleep, we'll be awake soon. So, he'll keep us awake other ways. But the point is, when you're dealing with unsaved people or new Christians or things like that, you've got to make them want to listen. So the more emotions there that you can address. Letter G, illustrations allow you to reach various people in the audience. Your message should always have something for everybody in the audience. The youngest child who can understand English should go away with something from the message. And one of the easiest ways to accomplish this is with an illustration. The smallest kids, I watch this, you have children a lot of times in services, especially revivals, and some parents will let a 3 or 4 or 5-year-old sit there and draw, write, or, they just want to be quiet. And I'll watch those kids, and I'm preaching, and they're drawing, or they may even be talking a little bit, and they're kind of, a little restless. I tell a story, and those kids are, the heads pop up. And I want that. I want them to get something. See, in every sermon, there ought to be something for everybody. Years ago, I was in Tennessee and preaching in a church, and the pastor there had some kids at a Christian school over in Memphis. And he said, Brother Getch, they'd like you to come preach in chapel one day. So I did. And we had a great chapel, just a great service. I never met the pastor. His name was Dr. Charles Britt. Dr. Britt was a Southern gentleman. He was a graduate of Bob Jones University, a very distinguished man, always every hair in place in his head, a handkerchief in his pocket. I mean, just one of those GQ kind of looking guys, silver hair, just one of these, you knew he was a pastor when you saw him. And I'd never met him, and he wasn't there that day. But about a week later, I got a letter from him, and he said, Brother Getch, I understand you preached in our chapel, and our kids are still talking about it. They really enjoyed it. I want to have you come for a revival meeting. Well, I was a young preacher, and I thought, wow, Dr. Britt, this is a big church, and I was excited about that. Well, we booked a meeting a couple years out, and it finally came, and we got there, and Sunday morning, he had me teach a class, and then we preached the service. And he was very, very nice and cordial and so on, but very distinguished and so on. Well, afterwards, we went to eat, and again, he was very kind. And as we were eating, he said, Brother Getch, he said, on Sunday nights, typically, I take a little time during the preliminaries to tell a children's story. I have all the kids come forward, and they sit down front at the altar, and I just tell them a story. And he said, I was thinking I wouldn't do it tonight because of the revival, but he said, I think I want to do it. Is it okay with you? And I'm thinking, why are you asking me? You're the pastor. He'd been there 30-some years. And I said, Pastor Britt, whatever you want to do, I mean, good night. You want to preach tonight, that's fine. I mean, you just do whatever you want. I said, I'll enjoy a story. I was speech minor in college, and I thought, man, it's great. So sure enough, Sunday night, we had the song service, and he and I are sitting up on the platform, and they had an auditorium that had a slope floor, and they had seats like ours, and you couldn't really tell how many were there, but I would guess probably about 600 people, maybe 7. And all of a sudden in this time period, he said, all right, kids, come on down. And all of a sudden, I mean, you didn't know they were there, but 150 of these kids just popped out of their seat, and they literally started running down to the front. A very distinguished, formal church, and these kids are all running to the front, excited about this story. Well, they all gathered around. They had a huge altar area. They all gathered around, got on their sitting down there, and Pastor Britt walked off the platform, and he went down to these kids. Well, man, I'm wishing I was in the audience because I'm behind him, and I want to see this. He starts telling this engaging story about tithing. And, I mean, it just was riveting. This story about tithing. And about halfway through this, I'm thinking, this is a story about tithing. And he's telling it to these kids. And I'm thinking, this is weird. And I mean, the kids are just, you know, they're just glued in on their pastor. Well, you know, I'm thinking, and so I was watching him, but all of a sudden I looked at the crowd. I looked at all the adults. And they were literally in those theater-type seats. They were all sitting forward and just listening, watching the pastor. And I thought, this guy's smart. So anyway, he told a story. Kids all ran back to their seat. We went on. I preached. Well, afterwards, he said, let's go get some ice cream. We went to a little ice cream place. And I said, Dr. Britt, I really enjoyed your story tonight. He said, oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. I said, you do that every Sunday night? Yeah, I've done it for years, decades now. I said, you don't do that for the kids, do you? He kind of looked at me like I was, you know, into the secret, you know. And he kind of got this funny look on his face, and he said, no. He said, I tell the story of the dolls. He said, my adults, I've been preaching here for over 30 years. They don't listen to anything I say. So I tell the story of the kids to get my cotton-picking adults to listen. Smart man. Now, you could do that as he did very effectively, or you can do it in a sermon as well. And so, again, there should be something there for everybody, and a story, an illustration is a great way to do it. All right. There's a variety. Well, let's see, number three, remember the audience does not always want to hear what you're preaching, so attract them to the message. And do that with an illustration is a great way. Now, use a variety of illustrations. Illustrations can come from a variety of sources. The Bible. Now, some people say you shouldn't use the Bible to illustrate the Bible because all the Bible is truth and therefore none of it's an illustration. Well, Jesus did. So, I mean, Jesus was always going back to the Old Testament. So I can't make that argument. I think some of the greatest illustrations are in the Bible. Amen. And you get a double whammy of thus saith the Lord that will not return void. Right. So when you use an Old Testament story of David to illustrate a New Testament principle, you've got two things working for you there as far as God blessing it. So Bible illustrations, I try to think they're first. Is there something in the Bible that illustrates this? Personal experience, of course, that's always the best because you were there. And they're most easily told because your emotions were involved in it when it happened. So personal experience, personal observation. Children. Oh, children are great sources of illustration. They say some dumb things, some smart things. Children. Literature. History. We make all of our students now, unless they're a history major, they take U.S. history. And the reason we do that is because Dr. R teaches U.S. history, and he illustrates his notes with just continuously, and we believe that even our preacher boys who aren't going to teach history are going to benefit from U.S. history, hearing the illustrations of a war, of a general, or whatever in their preaching. Hymns. Guys, get to know the stories behind the hymns. Great stories. You know, H.G. Spafford, It Is Well With My Soul. What a great story behind that hymn. Now, get the right story, because there's a lot of them out there, but get the accurate one. But the point is that hymn stories, there's a lot of them. There's a couple books in our bookstore, but you ought to have a couple of books at least, or a website you can go to and get the story behind the hymns. They're powerful. And you can use the hymn for the invitation. Novels, art, media, comparative religions, nature, sports, the military, science, travel, hobbies, object lessons, poems, quotations. All these are a form of illustrative material, and there's a lot of things out there that we can illustrate with. Someone said one time there's an illustration in everything, and I suppose there is. If you really think about something long enough, there's maybe an illustration in everything. This bottle of water is an illustration of the Trinity. You've got the plastic container, God the Father, you got the cap, which is God the Son, you got the water, which is the Holy Spirit. So, you know, there's an illustration of everything. I'm just kidding. Now, how do we deliver these? How do we deliver the illustration? Number one, letter A, they must be accurate. Again, I go back to that. They must be accurate. Always give the facts of the story as accurately as possible. People can check your accuracy on the internet. Now, with personal illustrations, they can't check it, but you know, we live in an internet age, you know. So make sure you're accurate. And if somebody checks you on it, a little girl came to my wife one time after a children's service, and my wife came out to the trailer afterwards. She said, John, are there Are there streets of gold in heaven, or is there a street of gold? I said, well, there's streets of gold. That's what the song says.
Yeah.
Streets of gold. She said, well, this little girl came and said that wasn't true. There's only a street of gold. I said, well, let's look. We looked. The girl was right. There aren't streets of gold in heaven, according to the Bible. There's a street of gold. Now, that street may run through the whole celestial city. It may just be one street. I don't know. But, again, little kids sometimes will check your accuracy. So, again, you want to, and if somebody proves you wrong, then change it.
Amen.
Don't be so stubborn and proud. You can't change your story. You can still use it. Just get your facts right. Now, never give the audience the impression you're unsure about what you're speaking of, and that's true of anything, but especially an illustration. If it's a historical or something, it's amazing what people know, or can look up. Letter B, they should be clear. Know the crowd you're preaching to and reach them on their level. Remember, you're not trying to help you, you're trying to help them. So be clear. Letter C, they must be down to earth. Down to earth. Get them down on the bottom shelf where everybody can reach them. Don't be afraid to illustrate truth in an undignified manner. I was preaching on the rapture one time here at Lancaster Baptist. I think it was a Sunday night. And I was in my office before the service, and I was trying to think of some way I could illustrate the suddenness of the rapture in the introduction. I thought, how can I get these people to realize this could happen at any second, and we'd be out of here? And I thought, if I could just fall down flat on my face, right in the middle of the sermon, just fall flat on my face, then I could say, that's how fast the rapture could take place. So I decided to do it. Well, in speech, you learn how to fall. You actually have classes on how to fall down the stairs and, things like that so you don't get hurt, stunts and things like that. But I'd never done this before, So I'm in my introduction, and I'm getting ready to this point where I'm going to illustrate how fast this could take place. And I was going to walk this direction, and then I got behind the pulpit, just throw my legs out from under me and fall flat on my face on that wooden floor up there. So I started this way, and I chickened out. I just chickened out. And so I kept walking, and I kept talking about how sudden this was going to be, and I went all the way back over here, and I started again. I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this, So I started across again, and again, I chickened out. Third time, I said, it's now or never, because I don't have anything more to say about how sudden it's going to be. And I kicked my legs out, and I went down. And I hit my chest on that wood floor, and it took me about 30 minutes to get my wind back. I mean, it knocked my wind out. And so it got the point across, but it was a bit undignified. But I wouldn't recommend that, at least not without some practice. But again, don't be afraid, especially with children. You preach to children, you get down on the floor with them, they love that, especially if you're in your suit. They love seeing some of that in animation and so on. Don't wait for your audience to come to you. Go to them. Go to them with the illustration. Get down on their level, number three. Letter D, they must be quick-hitting. Quick-hitting. There's nothing more frustrating to people today than the wasting of their time. So you don't drag a story out. The audience should not be thinking faster than the preacher. Don't you hate a joke when you know the punchline before they get to it?
Yeah.
It's ineffective. Same is true of a story or an illustration. If they can figure it out before you get there, it's not going to be as effective. So shorten it up. The audience should not be able to figure out the application before you get there. Number four, the illustration is the quick blow of the hammer that drives the point of the message home. Strike cleanly and quickly. Don't overdrive it or you'll damage the wood. You ever pounded a nail into a piece of wood and you drove it one too many times and it left a circle there? Those are hard to sand out. So drive it home, but don't overdrive it. Letter three, or number E, it must be always appropriate. Again, I could say a lot about these things, but for sake of time, appropriateness. When preaching on God's omnipresence, one preacher said, God is everywhere, even in the trash can. Well, it's accurate, but it's not appropriate. Okay. Now, appropriateness may vary with the audience and the setting. Some things might be appropriate to a single gender crowd that wouldn't be appropriate to both genders. Some things might be appropriate to adults that wouldn't be appropriate to young children. Think about appropriateness. By the way, it's never appropriate to make fun of a group of people. whether it's ethnic groups or overweight people or, you know, you just don't want to go. Today, you can't go there. I was listening recently where comedians are no longer doing comedy on college campuses. They won't do it. They won't go to any college campuses anymore, the leading comedians, because college campuses are so politically correct, they can't make a joke about anything.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, their whole joke reservoir is gone. So people are very sensitive today. So again, if you make a joke about a person, make it about yourself. You know, make fun of yourself. I sometimes make fun of Germans or, you know, something like that. But again, be careful with appropriateness. Be aware of and avoid anything that's off color, crude, ethnically, or gender insensitive. Just be careful. Then illustrations should be told dramatically. The audience should feel like they're there in the story. That they're there experiencing it with you. Don't just retell the story, relive it. Think about the emotion of the story you're telling. Cut anything out that is a surplus in the story that does not aid in the shedding of light of the truth you're preaching. A sculptor was asked how he carved a statue of a lion without a model. He said, "I simply carved away anything that did not look like a lion." So take out the stuff that is not necessary. Okay. By the way, usually the stuff that's not necessary is about us. Now, the best illustrations are personal. They're easier to tell because you were there. Two, you're aware of all the pertinent facts. Three, they're believable because of the information you're sharing that no one else would be aware of, the time or the location or the people's names. Number four, they humanize you to the audience. You tell a story about your kids, they realize, wow, Pastor has to discipline his kids too. They're just like us. Now remember, people learn more from your failures than they do from your successes. Everyone has had a failure, but not everybody's been a success. You know why we like Dr. Gibbs' stories? Because he's always messing up. I have never heard Dr. Gibbs use an illustration about how he won a court case. Now, I'm sure he's won many at very high levels. I've never heard him use it as an illustration. I've heard him talk about in court where he got mad at the other lawyer and, you know, had to apologize. I've heard those stories. I've never heard him use an illustration about his success. He's always the guy electrocuting the pig or calling the flight attendant cosmetically challenged. Or, you know, I mean, it's always something where he messed up and he's got to go apologize. And, you know, why do we like that? Because we've been there.
Yeah.
We've all been a failure. So you don't have to be the hero in all your stories.
Yeah,
you don't always have to win the person to Christ. Tell people that you get the door slammed in your face too. Because that's what they get, you know. So you don't always have to be the hero. Three rules with regard to personal illustrations. They must be true. We've covered that. Number two, they should be modest. We don't like people who brag about themselves in conversation. People don't like a lot of bragging in the pulpit either.
Right.
And then three, they must never violate a confidence. Be careful. Again, I've learned this the hard way, and I could tell you stories about that, but be careful, because your sermon travels a lot farther now than it used to.
Sure.
You know, if you're on the internet or you know things are going around the world, you know, you just have to be really careful. Let me give you one more illustration of an illustration before we go. Let's suppose that this is the truth. Okay, this is the truth. This piece of paper represents the truth. You're going to preach Sunday morning. This wall. Let's use this board. This board represents the heart of the person you're preaching to, okay? Now, we're trying to attach this truth to this heart. We want this truth to stick to the heart of this person. But we're just having trouble. We're not being very successful at getting this truth nailed to the... Well, we need a nail, don't we? Let's get a nail. Let's get an illustration. Let's use that illustration to pound that truth into the heart. Now remember, don't overpound it. Because all the nail is there to do is to attach the truth to the board. If this were a piece of wood and you were trying to attach it to this board, all the nail is doing is trying to attach this to this. Here's the illustration, or here's the truth, here's the heart. Use this as the illustration to attach it. Now don't overuse the illustration, because if you do, you'll split the wood. And the truth falls out, and all that's left is the nail. And people walk out entertained by a story, but there's no truth attached to their heart. So use the illustration as the nail to pound that truth to the heart and drive it just enough so it can attach it firmly, and your people will be blessed because they'll learn that truth. Okay? Sorry, I ran out of time, but appreciate you coming, and hope it was help.